knows what we're going through, knows what we're facing, and touched with the feeling of our infirmities, as it says over in the book of Hebrews, and I'm thankful for that. And we have a great high priest we can go to, and praise God, he answers prayers. He hears what we're going through. He knows what we're facing. He's always there to listen when we have a need. I'm thankful for that. Like I said, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to be back here at Mount Lebanon, and we do appreciate y'all and love y'all. And I do want to start by saying I apologize for my absence. The last time I was scheduled to preach, I deeply apologize for that, and I just ask that y'all forgive me for that. And Lord knows all about it, but I'm thankful for the opportunity to be at the house of the Lord this morning, amen. Amen. And God's been good to us, and thankful for all he's done for us this morning. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, we'll try not to be very long. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. We came this way this morning with a different message prepared, and Lord impressed on us to preach this instead, and I just want to be obedient to God this morning, so y'all pray for me. We hope we can be a help to you and a blessing to you this morning. First Thessalonians in chapter number 3, I'd like to invite you, when you found your place, if you can or able this morning, to stand out of reverence for the reading of God's Word. We'll preach this morning for just a few moments on the simple thought of a testimony of faithfulness, a testimony of faithfulness is what God's placed upon my heart to preach this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. The Bible says, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourself know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. But now when Timothy came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith." Let's go, Lord, in prayer this morning. Father, we come before you as humble as we know how, and Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for another day that you've given us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, to just come to your house this morning and open up your word, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for how good you've been to us, and Lord, we just want to praise you for that. And Lord, as they sung, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you're always there to hear and listen to our prayers. And Lord, we thank you that we have that ability to take our cares and our needs to you in prayer. Lord, we just want to praise you for it. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, most of all for, Lord, the blood that was shed on Calvary, and Lord, the blood that we could be saved. Lord, I want to thank you for salvation the day you saved me. Lord, we just want to praise you for it. God, we just ask you, Lord, for the next few moments of time, you'd help us, Lord, be obedient unto you, God. I know and realize I cannot preach this on my own, Lord. I cannot do this on my own. But, Lord, you have the ability, and Lord, we know that you've laid on our heart. And, God, I pray you just use us for your glory and honor, Lord. We want to do exactly what you have us to do, Lord. I pray you'd give us wisdom on what to say, God. Just allow us to follow you, Lord. I pray, Lord, you just move in the service today, Lord. I pray, God, that you just touch and help. And, Lord, I pray, Lord, if they're being here lost, Lord, I pray you'd save them by your marvelous grace. And, Lord, we'll be sure to thank you and praise you for all that you do. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing out of reverence for the reading of God's Word. As we know, if we go back and we read in the book of Acts, we find where Paul goes down to Thessalonica. The Bible tells us over there in the book of Acts, I believe it's chapter number 17, that Paul goes and he goes to Thessalonica, and for three Sabbath days, so for three Saturdays in a row, he goes down to the temple and he begins to reason with the people there at Thessalonica about the gospel. And as they teach the scriptures, he points to the Old Testament scriptures and shows them how those Old Testament scriptures were pointing towards Christ and saying he was the Messiah, telling them that Jesus was the true Messiah and the true King, and that he should be the one they're serving, and that they believe in him to be saved. And that's what he teaches them here. There in the book of Acts, chapter number 17, you'll find there at Thessalonica, the Bible says there was quite a few that believed. There were some Jews, and then there were some Greeks that believed. And nonetheless, there were people at Thessalonica that were believed. And this made the Jews very angry. The ones that did not believe, it made them very angry. And you'll find where the Jews took and overran Jason's house and took him before the council. And they made the statement that these men turned the world upside down, that they brought trouble to the city for preaching the gospel. And they desired to have Paul and Silas there at Thessalonica so they could stone them. And so we know and realize after this great moving of God, they faced opposition to what God was doing. And the Jews there brought opposition to them. And so we find over there in the book of Acts where Paul and Silas fled into Athens. And they've separated now. And the Bible tells us that Paul, preaching in Athens, says that he saw how wicked and vile the city of Athens was, and he went for 3 weeks, I believe it was, to the synagogues, and then he ministered in the markets daily, trying to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Paul is in the midst of that journey through Athens when he writes this to the church at Thessalonica. And as he writes to the church at Thessalonica, he is concerned about them and their faith. He's worried that those that oppose them, both Jews and Greek, those that opposed the church there at Thessalonica, a very young church, he was worried that those that opposed them had overran them, and Satan had came and tempted them to leave the faith already. And so that's where we find ourselves as we come to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. We find Paul concerned for the church at Thessalonica. They've seen a great move of God. They've seen what God can do. They've seen people saved. They've seen people believe. And they've seen God take care of them. And Paul's writing to them concerned. Or excuse me, he sends Timothy to them concerned. And so we find that Timothy comes back to Paul, and Paul tells them how faithful they were standing in their faith for God. And it encourages Paul, and Paul's writing this unto them. I want to preach on just the simple thought this morning of standing faithful, or a testimony of faithfulness. We see this from the church here at Thessalonica. I want you to notice a few things about them. And like I said, I'm going to be real short probably this morning. I'm going to give you what God's laid on my heart. And I'm going to trust God's going to do the rest.
a testimony of faithfulness. I want you to notice, first of all, the trials the people there at Thessalonica were facing. The trials that they were facing. Look with me in our text this morning. The Bible says in verse number 2, "And sent Timothy, our brother, and minister of God, and our fellow laborer, in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we were appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know." So Paul's telling them, he sent Timothy unto him, or Timothy's son to him, to check on them concerning their faith, because he was worried about the afflictions that they were facing, the trials that they were facing. You say, what were those trials? As we've already said, those Jews were very angry, but also the Greeks were very angry about this. This society at Thessalonica, we know, was an ungodly society, a society that served a pagan gods and worshiped false idols and did all kinds of wicked things. And we could go into that a little bit more if you go over in chapter number 4. But this church here at Thessalonica, from the very beginning, faced persecution. You find back in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, in verse number 14, this is what Paul tells them. "For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judah are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sins away. For the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost." So Paul writes to them there, and he tells them, you've become followers of the church just the same as those at Judah or there in Jerusalem, of your own countrymen. We know the church there at Jerusalem, how the Jews killed many people there at the church at Jerusalem, how they slew Jesus. The Jews, we know, were the ones that crucified Jesus or wanted him crucified. We know that they killed many of the prophets. We know they killed many of the disciples there at Jerusalem. And what Paul was telling them, the people at Thessalonica, he said, you're going through the same thing. You're facing the same persecution. He even tells them in chapter number 3 that he warned of persecution. He knew it was coming. He knew that they would face this. Paul told Timothy over there, 2 Timothy chapter number 3, "Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Jesus told his disciples over there in John chapter number 15 and verse number 18, "If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Wherefore, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." Jesus warned his disciples of persecution that would come. That's a whole different message, but we see the trials that these people were facing. Let me say this, as a Christian, as a human, we're going to face trials in life. We're going to face difficulties. We're going to face things that hurt us and we don't like. We're going to face trials. But the trials that we face should not turn us from staying faithful to God. We see the trials. I'm going to move on because I said I'm going to be short this morning. We see the trials they faced. We see the temptation they faced. Look with me back in our text this morning. The Bible says in verse number 5, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. What's Paul saying there? He's saying, I'm worried. Satan's came and tempted you and you've walked away from the faith. You see, when they're facing these trials and they're facing this persecution, they're facing these hardships, it's real easy for Satan to come by and say, why don't you just quit? No doubt that's what Paul was concerned about. Maybe he was concerned about them facing these trials and these temptations, and he's worried about them saying it's not really worth following Jesus. You have to understand, these are new believers. These are believers who have watched the moving of God. They've watched what God can do. They have believed and they've been saved by the grace of God. But they're new believers, and now there's many of them losing their lives. There's many of them watching their families die. There's many of them watching horrible things happen all around them. And it'd be real easy for them to say, is it really worth serving God? Let me say this. It's real easy, and you know it just as well as I do. It's real easy when we're facing hard times in life, when we're going through trials, when we're going through battles, maybe when we're not exactly happy with the outcome of the way things have happened. It's real easy for us to look around, and it's real easy for Satan to come by and say, is it really worth serving God? How many times I know in my life have I faced a battle or I've faced a trial and I've wondered, is it really worth going on the next mile? Hey, these people, we have to understand, these people, their lives have radically changed. Everything's different now than it used to be. Yes, they're saved now. Yes, they know what it's like to have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside them. Yes, they know what it's like to see God move. But now they're watching people all around them that they love and care about be killed for their faith. They're watching their loved ones that they care about turn their back on them because they've accepted their faith in Jesus Christ. They're watching people they knew and worked with, no doubt, turn their back on them because they've accepted Jesus Christ. It'd be really easy for Satan to slip in and say, hey, that life you used to have was a lot better than what's going on now. Why don't you just quit? It'd be really easy for him to slip in and say, it's not worth serving God anymore. Understand, when we face trials in life, it's the perfect opportune time for Satan to slip in and say, is it worth serving God? 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse number 8, very familiar scripture. We all know it. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Satan would love nothing more than to watch every single person sitting on the pews of Mount Lebanon Baptist Church today to quit and never come back. He would love to see a church that's been a shining light in the community and followed God close the doors never to open them up again. That's what Satan would love to see. And if we're not real careful when things we're going through, when we're facing battles, when we're facing trials, that's when Satan will slip in and say, is it worth going on? So we see the temptation they have to walk away. About done, I promise. But then we see the testimony of their faithfulness. We see the testimony of their faithfulness. The Bible says in verse number 6 of our text this morning, "But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore," now listen to this, "therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our afflictions and distress by your faith." Couple things to unload here. I want you, first of all, their testimony of faithfulness. The Bible says when Timotheus came back to Paul there at Thessalonica, he brought a report of faith and charity, faith and love. These people are going through, they're being tormented, they're being persecuted, they're going through trials like they've never faced before because of their faith. And yet Timotheus comes back to Paul and he says, "Paul, their faith is strong. Not only is their faith strong, but their charity, their love for one another, their love for the ones around them, their love for the lost and dying world, it's as strong as it's ever been." Amen. They had a testimony of staying faithful to God. Let me say this. I'm thankful for the testimonies of faithfulness I've seen in my life.
Amen.
I've watched a lot of people walk away from the house of God during trials and Satan come and ruin their lives, and we could talk a lot about that. But I'll say this, I'm thankful for those that when I get a report of them or I see them out, they're staying faithful to God.
Amen.
Their testimony is a testimony of faithfulness.
Amen.
You see, the fact of the matter is, the Lord's been faithful to us.
Amen.
If we talk about the Lord, we can say no doubt He's been faithful to us. We ought to stay faithful to Him.
Amen.
Let me say this, there's a lot of trials we'll have to face in this life. There's a lot of times Satan's going to come and tempt us to walk away from the faith. But the fact of the matter is, the Lord's been so faithful to us, we ought to just stay faithful to Him. I promise you, whatever we go through, I promise you, whatever we face in life, the Lord's going to take care of us. He's going to be by our side, and He stays faithful to us. We ought to stay faithful to Him. See their testimony of faithfulness, but I want you to notice how their testimony of faithfulness helped Paul. The Bible says, look back with me in our text, "But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted. We were comforted over you in our affliction and distress by your faith." As I told you earlier, Paul's in a wicked city. Paul's facing some awful things there in Athens. Paul has gone through the mill as he's there in Athens, but he sends Timotheus, he's by himself, he sends Timotheus up to check on them at Thessalonica, and when Timothy comes back to him, Timothy brings that report of faithfulness and love and charity. He brings that report back, and Paul says, "We've found comfort in your faithfulness." Now it amazes me, no doubt Paul, we could say Paul was probably one of the greatest Christians to ever walk on the face of this earth. God used him greatly. No doubt Paul Paul knew what it was like to be in the presence of God. Paul had a line to God, so to speak. Paul knew what it was like for God to comfort him and God to take care of him. Paul knew what that was like, and no doubt he had a close relationship with God. But we find he tells them he's comforted in their faithfulness. Let me say this, and I'm about done, I promise. You never know who your testimony of faithfulness is going to help.
Amen.
You never know who your testimony of faithfulness to God is going to help. I'll give you an example in my life. Many of you remember Sister Eva Townsend. You may not, you may know or you may not, but Sister Eva was a lady that I grew up going to church with, my dad's home church. He pastored her, and her husband, Brother Danny, they loved me, this young preacher, and they took care of me, and I mean, they helped me out a lot along the way. When it came down to the end of Miss Eva's life, she got in a car wreck and it broke her back. And as she laid there in the hospital, it set up pneumonia in her lungs. And she got to the point she couldn't hardly breathe. She got to the point she couldn't get out of bed. She was over there in the Foley Center. And I'll never forget, I went over there to the Foley Center to try to talk to her. I mean, I was just going over there to spend some time with Miss Eva. And I walked into that hospital room or that room that night, and she was laying there in pain. No doubt she was coming to the end of the road. Her back was broken. She couldn't breathe. But she sat there in that hospital room that night, and she looked at me, and she began to tell me about how good God was to her. This lady, her back was broken. She'd been through the meal. She couldn't breathe. She was coming to the end of the line. And she just wanted to sit there and tell me about how good God had been in her life and all God had done for her. And I promise you that faithfulness in her life and her staying faithful to God has encouraged this preacher more times than she'll ever know. And her husband sitting there beside her watching the love of his life die on that bed. Sat there and told me about how good God was, and he's still faithful to God to this day, and he's still serving God, and his testimony of faithfulness has helped me in my life. It's amazing how a testimony of faithfulness can encourage people. Now let me say this, and I'm done. I'm going to close with this. I didn't come this way to preach this morning. I really didn't. But I got here and I sat down, and the Lord put this on me so heavy I couldn't get away from it.
Amen.
Testimony of faithfulness will go a long way. Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, you've been through the mill lately. I believe you could tell me that. But I've been here several times. I've watched many of you come faithfully to the house of God. Watched you stay faithful. I've watched you talk about how good God's been. I've watched you talk about serving God. And I'm here to tell you this morning, I just want to stand here and say thank you for your faithfulness to serve God through the difficulties and the trials you're going through.
Amen.
You've encouraged this preacher. You've encouraged me, and no doubt you've encouraged many others. I promise you there's going to be trials in life. There's going to be hard times, and no doubt you're going through a hard time right now. But I promise you there's a God in heaven who's alive and well, and he's faithful to you. Paul talks about, I don't have time to get into this, but Paul talks later over there in the book of Thessalonians how God's coming back for him and how God's going to keep his promise. And I promise you there's a God in heaven who loves you this morning. There's a God in heaven who'll stand by you and stick by your side. And I promise you if you you'll just stay faithful to Him, He'll stay faithful to you. And your testimony of faithfulness will go a long way in this community. Your testimony of faithfulness will go a long way in reaching a lost and dying world. Because no matter what you go through, God has been so good to us, we ought to continue being faithful to Him. A testimony of faithfulness. As I said, I didn't come this way this morning to preach this. I came this morning to preach out of the book of Luke on worship. But God set this upon me, and I just want to say this morning. Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, stay faithful to God. You've encouraged me. I have no doubt you've encouraged others. Stay faithful to God. A testimony of faithfulness will go a long way to reaching this lost and dying world. And watching God do amazing things. If everybody would stand this morning, ask the pianist if she would come play a quick song of invitation. Father, we come before You as humble as know how. Lord, we just want to thank You for this day that You've given us, Lord. We thank You for all You've done for us. And Lord, how good You've been to us. And Lord, we want to just thank You, Lord, for Your faithfulness, Lord. We want to thank You, Lord, for staying faithful to us. But Lord, I want to thank You this morning for those that are sitting here this morning that have stayed faithful to You. Lord, the ones in my life through the past that have stayed faithful through trials, God, and how they've been an encouragement to me. Lord, we just praise You for them. We thank You for them, God. Lord, we just ask You to move in this service the way You see fit. Lord, we'll thank You and praise for all that You do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As she plays.